to me the world is full of unhappy and dissatisfied people. And because that is the situation, people are everywhere are looking for answers to the emptiness they feel inside. And I want you to know very truly that as I talk to people, I find this to be ultimately the way the world is. Now, because of that, these individuals will do anything they can to find love, forgiveness, acceptance, all the things that we need so desperately. Now, what happens when we get in that kind of mood is we become depressed. I hope there's nobody here this morning that's depressed. But that would be silly because some may have come and they are depressed. Depression leads to suicide, leads to divorce, to alcohol and drug abuse, eating disorders, emotional and psychological disorders. It says in the Tide commercial, we are messed up. Right? Now, I had a Baptist friend one time help me in the services for a number of years. And he says, Pastor L, when you talk to the people to make sure that they can understand what you're saying, you say right and they say right behind. So let me say it, right? Okay, got a good start. So what is the solution? I'm afraid I didn't have a chance to talk with Pastor Paul about this before, but is it materialism? Is it wealth? Is it pleasure and enjoyment? We all want to have all of those things, and I'm not saying that any of them are bad, because they are good things. It's only when we use them in a bad way that we get in trouble. So I believed God's word. I preached it for 41 years. And I think that I like what God says in Proverbs 14. There's a way that seems right to a person, but in the end, it leads to death. Now, I'm not talking about physical death. I'm talking about psychological and emotional death. So how do I find happiness and satisfaction in this life? Well, I'm going to tell you. I'm so glad that you asked. Because if you didn't, I didn't know what to say next. Jesus says it so well, I can't improve upon what Jesus said. He said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Right? Okay, all right. Now, a good dictionary will describe abundant life as a life that is complete, that it lacks nothing that is essential. And when I say that, I understand that what is essential to one person is not necessarily the same essential to another. But it's important to know that it's a life of quality, it's a life of completeness, it's a good feeling. I remember my last Sunday in Rock Falls of saying, I did everything that God asked me to do, and now it's time to retire and let somebody else fill the pulpit. So I just want to again say that it means it's life that is essential, life that is full, that it's abundant. I'm personally convinced that one of the things and one of the reasons why people don't live that life is because they don't know what it is. Amen? Amen. See, whenever I look down and I get those blank stares, that's when I say amen. Okay. So I want to say this. There is an abundant life, and it's available to every single person who is here this morning. And every single Christian that hears these words being spoken in thousands and thousands of churches across the nation. Now, people who enjoy the abundant life have these qualities, very important. I'm sorry that I couldn't have put this on the board so you could see it. But these are the fruits of the Spirit. And they are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I'll never understand why in the word they put self-control at the end. As it seems to me that self-control is the beginning. And the thing about this is you cannot go to Menards and get more wisdom. You cannot go to Menards and get more patience or more love or more joy. Although maybe you enjoy shopping. I hadn't thought about that. But the abundant life is free from some of those bad things that we're tempted to be involved with, and that includes these things, amongst others. Selfishness, hatred, an unforgiving spirit, sexual immorality, dishonesty. Oh my goodness. We're about ready for a new election year, and can we imagine what we're going to hear? Some of the garbage, the dishonesty that's going to be a part of that. And then it leads to greed and gossiping and slander. I always remember that we had this little thing in a bulletin from Ephesians before that we're not to say anything that would harm another person. But you want to say things that give grace to another person. I'm going to be talking in a minute about one of the speakers that I've loved through the years. And one of the things that he said that I'll never forget as long as I live is, if you want to get a right life for yourself, you have to get a good life for other people as well. It's not something we're going to take and stay within ourselves, but it's something we share. I love being a part of our men's Bible study, and we always will have an opportunity to talk to one another and to talk about how to solve little problems that come up in relationships one kind or another. And that's so important. I love certain scriptures. This is my favorite one, the one that was used this morning. But I also love this one from Philippians 4:4. I love the Lord, and I love him forever. And I will say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say, rejoice. We're on the way to the church this morning, and my wife said to me, she said, honey, you haven't preached for a while, so you need to get your voice going. So I said, okay. So she said, go ahead and start. So let's see how good you are at catching on what I'm going to say. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. that the Lord has made. I always listen to the Spirit within me. So I didn't put this in my notes, but I want to do this. If you're with somebody that is your spouse or your very important other, and you haven't said this morning, I love you, I want you to do it right now. Husbands and wives, everybody, say it, I love you. Okay, all right. Now I'll have the right spirit for the rest of my sermon, okay? We're all invited to this select company of Jesus Christ to love one another, to be with one another, to uphold one another, to impress and rejoice and make us feel good about one another. As I look down and I see your faces, these are not faces that I've known for a long, long time, but some of you I've known for a number of years. And I can't tell you how important that was when we made a decision to go to this church. When I retired, we went to 13 different churches on Sunday morning. And you know what? I found that wherever I went, they were preaching the same messages, because they were following a lectionary which brought those particular themes back and forth, regardless where you went. Lutheran churches, Nazarene churches, other Methodist churches. I went to one other Methodist church, and he's a good friend of mine, been a pastor friend of mine for a number of years. And he said, you know what? He says, I need help. Don't we all need help? Huh? I says, well, what do you need? He says, well, I'm going to be gone the first Sunday in July. Could you preach for me? Now, you saw what happened, so you know that I don't take that lightly. But things can happen, and they do happen. And so I did. I preached for him. But guess what? They were meeting in the fellowship hall, not in the church sanctuary. And I sat at a table and did the whole service from a table. Like that one. It was strange. You know? My favorite author is a man by the name of Zig Ziglar. Now, he's not a Christian speaker, he's a motivational speaker, but he goes across the nation talking to people about enjoying life and living it to the very fullest. And he wrote a book, and in the book he talks about a man, an amazing man named Charles Wiedemeyer, from Los Gatos, California. Charlie coached the high school football team to its only championship that they've ever won. And as Zig went and watched their practices on the field, the amazing thing was that the only part of Charlie's body he could move, get this, were his eyes and mouth, because Charlie suffered from Lou Gehrig's disease and could not speak. The disease had physically affected Charlie in such a way that no sound came from his mouth, and his wife Lucy was his interpreter. She would read his lips and effectively deliver the message. Now this is going to cost me. You know, it is costly to be a Christian. But my wife said, if you mention me in the service, I'm not buying your breakfast. This is serious stuff, okay? But I'm going to tell you that I don't know where I would be without my wife. And I'm dead serious about it. It's funny, one of our friends gave us this little plaque. It's about 10 by 15 or something like that. And my wife decided that a good place for this would be on a wall right up where I get up and get out of bed every morning. And here's what it says. Pastors are special. I am special because God chose it to be so. But a pastor's wife is a blessing. And I want you to know my wife is my blessing. Now, Charlie had a remarkable attitude, and wherever he went and talked in church groups and community groups and even in prisons, he was always uplifting them, helping them to see even in their worst circumstances that life can be the best, because it can. Regardless of your situation, and I've known people through the years who had physical limitations, I always love it when we're out there having coffee between the service. See, I don't come at 8 o'clock normally. I came this morning and I couldn't believe I got up that early. But I did. But I love to look around that group and see some of the people that I know very well. I've known Sharon for probably at least 10 years, maybe more than that, okay? I've known, where is she? I know she's here. I can't think of her, I can't see her right now, but I've known some of you for a long, long time. I've known, since we got to this church, I've known Bob and Cheryl for a long, long time because they always sit right in front of us. And we went to breakfast one Sunday morning when we first started coming here, and we got there and here was Bob and Cheryl. So we kind of enjoyed our breakfast together. Anyway, I want to talk, I'm going to cut to the chase here. Are you enjoying me? Because I'm enjoying myself. Okay, just want to know. When you see people all around you who are living life to the fullest, let them know how much you appreciate what they're doing for the rest of us. I had a lady sitting right in here, right in front of me this morning, with her husband and a couple of teenagers. And I love to talk to young people. Because you see, they're not concerned about eternal life. They're concerned about what's going to happen in high school next week. And so you can't talk to them in the same way, but they need to know that there is a life which we all can lead that is a quality of life, that it is an abundant life. It's a life that's full and it's meaningful. And I always thought through the years when I do a sermon, I want to talk about the one side of it. I want to also talk about the opposite side of that. Because you see, that's our life. So here's what the abundant life brings. And then I'm going to tell you what abundant life does not bring. It brings hope and happiness. I love Coralie, I love seeing you every Sunday morning. You're beautiful the way you dress, and I appreciate it so much. I really think that what I want to say, and I want to say it as strong as I possibly can, I love church affiliation. I don't know what Paul feels about this, and by the way, I want to say thank you to Paul for allowing me to be here, because he looked into my eyes and he saw my heart, and he said, "Would you like to preach some Sunday?" And I said, "Yeah, I would, sure, definitely, okay." So anyway, when you have the abundant life, you have vitality. You have energy. I always, they were talking about congratulating Nancy Pitch. Talk about a person with energy. Nancy, you are a person with energy. And we love to see you You flourish when you're with children, when you're doing things. Now, people who have abundant life have good family relationships. You know that just recently, my wife and I celebrated our 50th wedding anniversary. And I put it in a bulletin that my life really began when I married JJ. And by the way, if you ever wonder what JJ means, it means just Jan. But we've had the most wonderful life together, and I became a stepfather to three boys that we love dearly. And when we get together, we don't want it to ever end. We want to be together all the time. Because we love one another, and we give to one another, and occasionally we have to forgive one another. It's a family, after all. Right? Right? Okay. Now, here's what abundant life is not. It is not a life of ease. It's something that you have to work on every single day of your life. It is not dependent on outside circumstances. It's very much of what's inside that counts. I love Pastor Paul, and I love his way of getting personal with you and revealing some of the things in his life that we can use as an example. And one thing about it too, you have to have patience. Did I say that word? Patience? I did, didn't I?
Yes.
Okay, all right. A few years from now, the Lord willing, you and I are going to be some years older. How's your life going to be? Are you going to enjoy the abundant life? You know, the choice is yours, because if you want it, you can have it. Here are some of the things that are so important. You are living the abundant life when you understand that failure is not an event, it's not a person. Failure happens to every one of us. I always said, if it wasn't for the failures, I don't know how much I would have changed through the years. You know? And I'm looking at some of you parents today. Keep living your life, but realize that you're going to fail. You're not always going to be there for your children. And there's going to come a time when it's time for them to leave the nest and to go out on their own. And how important is it going to be? Pretty important? Yes? Okay, all right. I said yes that time and then you responded. Wonderful. Okay. Now, church affiliation. I used to, and I hate to even say that word because it means I'm a has-been. And I said that to somebody just recently. He says, well, it's better to be a has-been than a never-been. And I didn't never quite understood that, but I'm grateful for it. But anyway, it means being there for one another. I was always very aware of people who have lost loved ones. I was telling somebody that was in the first service who came and said that he really enjoyed my sermon, telling him about a situation I had years and years ago. I made an appointment to see a woman who was in her 80s, sweet lady. You know, we've got a lot of sweet ladies in this church. I'm looking down at them, and I wonder if they realize how sweet they really are. So I rang the doorbell, and nobody answered. I checked the door, and it was open, so I just pushed it open. And I could hear very faintly in the back, help me, help me, help me. And I followed the voice to the bathroom. She got off the throne and fell into the wastebasket. And I helped her out of there, and we had coffee for about 45 minutes after that. And her daughter told me when I did her funeral a couple years later, says, you'll never know what it meant to my mother when you got her out of that wastebasket. See, it's not big things. It's little things that mean a difference. Isn't that it? Little things. We need to be full-time Christians. God does not need any part-time Christians. Right? Okay. Means you understood, right? Okay, all right, okay. Now, abundantly living also means separating ourselves from the world. The world will corrupt if it gets a chance. And you know this, I don't have to say it more than once. Bible says we are in the world, but not of the world. That we're a stranger moving through this existence with God's direction and Jesus' love and forgiveness. So if I've hurt anybody's feelings, forgive me. I'll talk to you later about that if I did. I don't want to step on anybody. But you know, you can have abundant life. And so let me say it just one more time. The choice is yours. Amen?
Amen?
Let's pray. Jesus Christ, Good Shepherd, Lord of our life, who provides safe pastures for your own, move us to trust in your bounty so we might meet human needs with compassion and generosity. You have called us into fellowship. Help us all to be worthy members of your body. By your grace, lead us to abundant living. You poured your grace upon us. Help us to open our doors and hearts to the stranger, the alien, the wanderer. You have spoken to us through the prophets. Help us to hear your words anew and to speak the good news among our neighbors and to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pastor L came to my office and said, you know, Paul, I'm going to preach on John chapter 10. And I said, yes! Because, I mean, we had a sermon series this year about John's Gospel, but I thought whenever I read and prepare a sermon on John's Gospel, I feel like I need more wisdom and I need more experience because it was written about 80 AD. So John was, I mean, John wrote this gospel when he was probably 80 or 85. With a lot of wisdom and experience, and I thought, yeah, I need more wisdom and experience. I felt some kind of limitation and kind of stuff, but thank you so much for your message. Yeah, abundant, the meaning of abundant life that is found in Jesus. And I just want to mention, it was a beautiful message, and I just want to mention one word, the gate. It was mentioned a couple of times in our scripture readings, the gate of sheep. So there were many gates surrounding the city of Jerusalem, and there was only one gate was consecrated. That was the gate of sheep. People didn't use the gate, only the sheep or goat. that would be a sacrifice for the service and worship. That means Jesus said, I'm the gate of the sheep. That means you come to me, you will have another chance. I'm the God of the second chance. You will be consecrated, you will be renewed, you will be restored, you will find the meaning. Come, and I'm calling you, and the sheep that belong to me, listen to me. You know, the communion, it is like Jesus' invitation, and I will respond to him. Every month, on the first Sunday, we have the full liturgy, which means I'm going to invite you to stand. Would you please stand, if you are able, in your body or soul? The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful things, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Lord, who created the heaven and earth. Lord, we are struggling sometimes. We want to navigate to find the true meaning of life, and we need you. You've done so many works, leading all the people of yours. God, we trust in you, and we ask for your guidance, love, and will. With your people on earth and all the company of heaven, God, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord,
God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Please be seated. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, Lord, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples and said, take it. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, Lord, and gave it to his disciples and said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Drink this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of DJ, mighty act in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and the people who join us online. Lord, bless each one of us as we try to navigate the word, navigate the path by your will and love. God, renew our spirit. Guide us all the time as we receive the bread and wine. Lord, abide in us. And just like you bless each one of us, bless these precious elements of the Holy Communion, make them the body and blood of Jesus Christ, so that as we take them, make us the body of Jesus Christ, redeemed by his blood. Amen.